Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
So in the first 9 chapters of Luke, the writer, Luke, Dr. Luke, is showing us who Jesus is. He's telling us who he is and ultimately that he is the Savior. Now in chapter 9, back in chapter 9, going into verse 10, he makes this transition. And so what ultimately he does, he says, if Jesus is Savior, if he is all that, then what is our response to him? He says our response to him is to be, very simply, his disciple. He says, if Jesus is worth this, then he is worth our following him. If we value him in this way, then we will understand the need to follow him. We will be his disciple, okay? And so he says, this is what, he goes into chapter 10, and he says, this is what it looks like to be his disciple. And so in chapter 10, we see him specifically sending out these 72, these 12 disciples plus 60 others, close followers of him, 72 total, that he sends them out to go before him. And you'll notice in Scripture, there's this constant push-pull pattern. In Scripture, there just is. There is where we're kind of like an arrow where God pulls us back and then he releases us. And you'll sense that in your life. If you follow Jesus for very long, you'll sense that there are times that he will inspire you, that he will build you up, that he will fill you with his love. And then there are seasons that he sends you out, knowing that you're going to need that filling up. We experienced that, I believe, in our church last week where we had this men's prayer retreat. And so we had this Conquer the Darkness prayer night, awesome Friday night going into Saturday morning, 10 p.m. Friday night going into 6 a.m. Saturday morning. And I'm telling you, my friends, if you had the chance to go to it, it was an incredible time of God filling us up. And I believe we are seeing this pattern in our church that kind of started with our men last week, where God is drawing them back, is drawing us as a church back, and he is ready to launch us. And so God is first going to inspire you, he's going to fill you up, and then you'll notice this pattern where he is ready to send you out. And my friends, I believe that our church, the Church of Lake Travis, is in that season. That we have been in a season of where God has been inspiring us, filling us up, filling our cup, where the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, and that is a preparation for what God is about to do. We saw that this last week with our men already, again, being pulled back, being drawn back, being pulled back, but then being pushed out, being released, being shot out. And we saw multiple conversations where our men, it's just what happens. When you draw close to God, God fills you with his love, and you can't help but share it with others. You don't want to keep that to yourself. So we saw our men on fire for the Lord this week, and it's been so cool seeing these stories and these text threads and email threads of our men sharing the love of Jesus with others. And so, church, one thing that I want us to hear is I believe that we are in a season where God has been indwelling us, filling us with his Spirit, and now it is a time we need to be prepared for a time where he is going to shoot us out, where he is going to release us. So jumping into Luke chapter 10, verses 1, he tells the disciples, he says, look, we're about to have this time of harvest, okay? We're about to have this time of harvest. I believe that CLT is about to be in this time of harvest. We're seeing it already. I think we're on the front end of seeing it. I can tell you personally from my life, I can tell you that I've had more opportunities for conversations in the last couple of weeks, Jesus conversations. And so I think it's Jesus saying, hey, we are about to be, for CLT, in this time of the season of harvest. He tells the disciples here. He says, get ready, because I'm about to launch you out. We're about to see this season. He says this in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Start at verse 1. You guys can read along with me. He says this, after this, the Lord appointed 72, 12 disciples plus 60 others, 72, and he sent them out 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. I just love this. We even see this in our students. This just hit me. But we even see this in our students. I was hanging out with Sam Self this last week. And Sam is awesome. Just think of the way God's working our church right now. And Sam started a Bible study. And he had somebody invite him to a worship experience. It was just an impromptu birthday party worship experience. How many of us have a birthday party and we're like, I want the best worship leaders that I can think of to have a awesome impromptu worship experience? So Sam got called down and was like, hey, one of my friends that's a youth pastor as well has been hanging out with Sam. He's like, hey, come here right now. You got to get here. And so this lady prophesied over Sam. Sam has started this Bible study a couple of weeks ago. We've been having all these students come. They came to our Lime worship a couple of weeks ago. It was so cool. And I love this. Somebody prophesied over him, and he's like, I don't know exactly what this means for me, but prophesied over him. And they said, look, I see you like the two by two. She was referencing this passage. I see you like the two being sent out. I see you and Kyle being sent out into Hudson Bend, into your grade, to have this impact. So I just think we're in this season. So here he is. He's sending them out two by two. We need that courage, okay? Very on. You need a buddy in this, okay? So you need a partner in crime. You need somebody to pray with you. You need somebody to have your back, hold you accountable, to be able to share this with. That's something you need to be thinking about as we prepare for this season of harvest. He goes on, he says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful. It's there, it's ripe for the taking, but the workers are few. And the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So Jesus gives them like this FFA, Future Farmers of America pep talk here. This farming, ranching, pep rally, pep talk to prepare their hearts to go out. He gives them this pep rally speech. And I think it prepares us. And he says this. He says, look, the harvest is ready. Open up your eyes to what God is doing around you. Get outside of yourself, of your own little realm, your own little cocoon. Open your eyes to what God is doing around you. Lord of the harvest has already done the work. He says that in the passage. It's ready. It's there. They're ripe for the taking. The harvest is ready. We just need workers. We need you. We need you this Easter week to prepare your hearts to have Jesus conversations. The Lord of the harvest has done his work. The harvest is ready. Now we just need to actualize it. So imagine you're a deal maker here today. Maybe you are. I want to paint this picture for you because I know I can sense the excitement you would have in your heart as a deal maker if you walked into your boss on Monday morning and you're having your team meeting. And your boss says, look, we have $5 million in deals that are ready to be closed. All you have to do is show up with a cash register and take the money. You just start the conversation and the deals are as good as closed. Would you not be excited? Would that not be like the best Monday morning $5 million news that you could possibly get? The deal has already been closed. No coffee until you just go out and close the deals, right? We would be excited. Jesus tells us, look, the harvest is ready. He's already done the work. All we have to do is have the conversation, but the workers are few, but you'd be pumped, right? Jesus tells us the harvest is ready. All we have to do is start the conversation. Then he sends out the 72, and this is what Jesus does, and we'll see in a second. It's a big key. It's a big key for us to get in this passage. Jesus sends them out to a place he is about to go. He says, you are going to go before me to places that I'm about to go. It's a big key for us to get. If we're in tune with him, he will send us to places where we're going to see in a minute where it's easy. I'm going to show you how I think we can recognize when it'll be easy. But it'll be easy because the harvest is already ripe and Jesus is about to go close the deal for us. All we have to do is start the conversations. But notice that he sends us to places that he is about to go work. Verse 3, it says, go, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. So don't take anything with you. That means you are going to be fully reliant on me. That's a big key there too. I believe that one reason we go on mission trips and we see God work so mightily in our lives is because it's one time in our life we leave behind our backup plan to the backup plan and our insurance with our underwriter's insurance who has an underwriter for insurance. And we've got four. It's like there's no opportunity for us to see God's act because we're always doing everything in our own power and might, right? Can I get an amen? And so all of a sudden we go on this mission trip and we're relying on God. We're like, whoa, God came through. Yes, because you relied on God. And so he says here, don't take anything with you on this mission trip, on this journey. And it's not far. These are towns right next door. These are neighbors of theirs. It's not like some out there mission trip. It's right next door. It's conversations we can have this week. And he says, but first, rely on me. Don't take anything with you. And then he says, look at, be on the lookout. Because there are wolves out there who are in sheep's clothing. And I don't know about you, but if you know much about sheep, first of all, sheep are not that smart, okay? And then second of all, when it comes to the hunted and the hunter and the hunted, they're always the hunted. There is no hierarchy in the grand scheme of animal kingdom where the sheep is on top, right? I mean, the kids introduced me at the retreat a couple of weeks ago to this Instagram account, and I don't want you to get on there right now and be looking at it, okay? Because you might not be ready for it, all right? If you're afraid of fangs and teeth and venom, this is not for you. But it's this Instagram account called Nature is Metal, and it's just nature is hard, all right? And it just shows like animal, a baby, and you're like, oh, so cute. And then big hawk picks it up and carries it off and eats it, all right? It's like that's the sheep world, okay? In anything the sheep comes up against, it doesn't matter. Like my kids love these kung fu games where they play and they pit like two different people. It doesn't matter. Sheep always loses. You know you're the automatic loser. Sheep comes up against my Shih Tzu dog. Okay, my man bun wearing, and if my wife feels like everything needs to be pretty that day, some days he even wears a ribbon. I have a hard time with this as a man. I was okay with getting a small dog, maybe, but then when he put a light blue ribbon on his hair, I have problems with that. But you put man bun ribbon wearing Shih Tzu dog up a puppy against sheep, he's going to shred it, man. That's just the way it works. And so Jesus says, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. Why is that? This is a big word of warning, of caution, not to create fear, but again, just to be aware of what's going on around you for our men who participated in that night of prayer. That we need to be on the lookout because Charlie even shared it this morning. We were praying for some of the guys that he's witnessing to. Charlie, our children's pastor, elementary, he's crazy, so we keep him way in the back, okay? But this morning, when we let him out front, we were praying with him. I'm kidding, Charlie's awesome. And anyway, we're praying, and praying for this guy that he's having this Jesus conversation with, that God has sent him out to, and so we're praying for him. And he said, "Already, I saw the roadblock coming up this week, and I saw the devil on the attack. That's what's going to happen when we get on fire. When God pulls us back and releases out, Satan is not going to like this happening. So there are roadblocks. So he says, look, be on the lookout. It doesn't mean be afraid. It doesn't mean to be cautious. Look, we have God going before us or following right behind us. My friends, we need to go with courage. So verse 5 says this. It says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Do not move around from house to house. So we have this interesting concept here called the person of peace. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is in the house, stay with them. You will find this peace promoter. So when God sends you out, how do we know where it is that he is about to work? This person of peace, this peace promoter should be a person to you that's like, God is, you know, our men at that Friday night prayer retreat, God is getting ready to launch you. You're in the airplane, you're about to jump, but you're sitting there going, where do I jump? That looks good, that looks good, that looks good. Aha, there's the big X marks the spot. Big red X marks the spot right in the middle. That's my place. How does he say we recognize it? In every town, we look for this person who he defines as a person of peace. That's how we can know that God is about to work. And that's what God does. They prepare our hearts to recognize where he is about to work. They're a symbol. They're an indicator. They're a litmus test for us. But Jesus sends these disciples out before him is what the passage says. And God wants to send us out to places where he is or is about to work. Person of peace is the way that we can recognize. I'm going to talk more about it in a second, but how do we know where God is about to work? I think it's a big key for us to get, because we may be here today and we're like, man, I'm working, Lee. I'm trying to harvest, but it's hard. I had this missionary years ago that I was working with in Honduras, not Roatan, Honduras, but where we go, but mainland Honduras, to this little town called Olanchito. And anyway, it's not little, it's 100,000 people, but the pastor, he used to be a pastor of a church, a large church in Fort Worth, Texas. And then God called him at 58 to be a missionary. He was like, I've done this for 20 years. He'd grown this church, but he was like, God just called me to be a missionary. 58, left his church at the pinnacle of what it was at the time and called him into the mission field. And I remember going down there and working with him, hanging out with him. And he was sharing with me about that. And he said, look, I've seen more people come to know Jesus during the 5 years I've been here. At that time, it was two. Actually, only 2 years that he'd been there. I've come to see more people accept Jesus into their hearts in the 2 years that I've been working here than I had during the 20 years at this mecca church of Fort Worth, this huge church in Fort Worth. He was, I said, why is that? And he said, God is working here. God's working here. He said, I used to have seminary students come and ask me to help them get a job. And he was like, now I know what I do. He said, I would tell every one of them until you've considered going to where God is working. And sometimes that's not necessarily in the good old United States, but it could be in a foreign country. I'm not going to help you find a job. He was like, I came here and I worked. And get this, in 5 years, this is almost unheard of in missionary world. In 5 years, he worked himself out of a job. They had to move him to another city because so many people had accepted Christ there and churches had been started and leadership had been raised up. They had seminaries that had been formed. When he got there, they had three churches for 100,000 people. When he left, they had 33. And they said, okay, we can move you to another people group that needs Jesus. But he said this, he said, doing ministry where I was at was hard, but down here it's easy because God is working. Maybe the reason your ministry is hard in your life now, it may be something you need to look at and say, maybe the reason it's hard is because God's just not working there. It's not his time and place. He's not working there yet. How do we know where God is about to work? This person of peace, they're the ones who will indicate to you where God is about to work. Like when we find this person of peace, we might as well just see a tractor combine. We might as well see a grain silo or a grain co-op, because we can see this person of peace as being a place where God is working in our lives. They're going to be huge to you and important to you, but what does a person of peace look like? The person of peace will be receptive to you. They'll be hospitable. They'll invite you in, okay? So imagine my friend Sam here. He hasn't gotten to dating age yet, but when he does, imagine, and he's a good-looking boy. I know this will never happen to him, but say he asks some girl out like 5 times in college, okay, like I did, and she keeps on telling you that she has to clean the blinds on her windows, right? Okay? That's the opposite of the person of peace. It's never going to happen to Sam. He's a good-looking, strapping boy, quarterback of the team, right? It's never going to happen to him. But imagine this were to happen like it did to me, okay? this is the key, though. That's not going to happen with a person of peace. They're not going to turn you down. They're going to say, hey, come on in. Let's have some cornbread together. Let's have some iced tea. Let's share a story. And then it's key for you to ask their story, listen to their story, this person of peace, and then share your story. But my friends, it's not any story. It's not. At some point, we have to stop talking about the Cowboys or the Masters golf tournament or the Bachelorette or when Chick-fil-A is going to reopen. At some point, we have to stop talking about it. It's this Thursday, the 18th, okay, if anybody's really wanting to know. But that's not what's important here this morning, my friends. As excited as we are about that, it is time for us to share something even more exciting news to that, and that's Jesus with these persons of peace, that we have that story with them. We're going to find that it's easy. Verse 16, he says this. We have to turn the conversation to talk about Jesus. He says, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. And I sit there thinking, I wish that I would have known this about the girl that I asked out for 5 times in college, but she kept on telling me that she had to clean her fish tank or her window blinds or her sock drawer or whatever, okay? I wish that it would not, you know, because what do girls say? They say, it's not you, it's me. And I wish that this would have been far more acceptable. And Jesus tells, here's your excuse right here. It's not you, it's Jesus, me. It's me. Jesus says that. He gives you your own built-in excuse. Don't take it personally. If you are representing Jesus, sharing Jesus' stories, talking about him, don't take it personally, my friends. They're rejecting Jesus, not you. And so it gives us the courage to say, hey, it's not about me. Look, I'm here representing this person who is so important to me, who loves me, who laid down his life for me, who sacrificed for me. I'm representing him. And so if they reject me, I'm representing him, I'm sharing on his behalf. It's ultimately Jesus that we're rejecting. He says, shake the dust off your feet, move on. Don't spam them. Don't beat them down. Just move on to the next person of peace who is ready to invite you in. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Rush on another mission trip. It was a really incredible experience. And what we did is we took students over there, high school students and college students who were athletes, and we would play sports against some of the students at this camp, this university camp. So they had like this training camp, and we would go to the training camp and we would compete against them, and they just loved it. They would love to show up and, you know, compete against the Americans. And we played them in basketball and soccer and badminton, and that's a whole other story. But it was so much fun, and they would show up to see us. And I remember we got off the bus in the middle of the night. I'm tired. I've been traveling for a long time. And we show up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, like 30 students come out of the woods in the middle of the night. I like had no idea where they're dropping us off. They're like, the place you're sleeping is over there. So we just start walking. These 30 students just come up to greet us, and they were persons of peace. They were all taking English as a second language in their university as elective, and they wanted the opportunity to practice it, and they were fascinated by it, and they wanted to learn our story, and they wanted to hear. And so we came in, and we got to know them, and then they would invite their friends to the Bible study that we were having. They were people of peace in our life, and it wasn't hard. The point is, move around, keep looking, keep having the conversations. When Jesus has prepped that place, you'll find it's easier than what you will expect. The persons of peace will be the sign. It's like, here it is. Here's where you need to be. It was fascinating to me. Even the last year, the second year we went there, every mission trip, I just find this person of peace. The second year, the president, we got there. We thought we were going to stay in the same dorm that we had the year before. And the president of the university said, I want you to come stay in my house at the camp. And it was like a big deal to stay in his house. He invited us in. We had 80 students showing up every night because it was huge to be invited into the president of the university's house. Because of him, kids came to know Jesus left and right. And get this, he wasn't even a believer. I had the conversations with him. I don't know that he ever became a believer. But at that point in time, he was a person of peace for us that just said, hey, I believe in Christian values and our economic system will never work with the unethical practices that our businesses have right now. And so for him, he was like, Christianity, the values I believe in, so I want you to teach those. He wasn't necessarily a believer, but he became a person for peace for us. And I can tell you, a lot of students came to know Jesus because of him. So we look for this person of peace to be a landing strip. Maybe you're here today, and you're like, Lee, I don't know that I'm in the 72. Definitely not in 12, the first selection, the first one off the draft board. Don't know that I'm in the other 60. I'm not sure where I am on this whole Jesus thing yet. I don't know if I'm on Jesus' team. I know that we have people coming to our church right now who are persons of peace. That they're not sure about the whole Jesus thing yet. They're not being sent out, but I want you to hear that God has the reverse command for you. God has the reverse command for you. The reverse command is this, that I encourage you, and I want to ask you to be open to these conversations about Jesus. I know that you're here this morning, you're checking out this Jesus thing because maybe a family member has invited you. Or maybe you just remember when you were a kid and there was something, some connectedness that you had with church, but maybe there's somebody, a coworker who's invited you to be here so that you are a person of peace. And what I want to encourage you to do is be open to what God wants to do through you. And so it may be you opening up your doors so that others, your friends, your coworkers can hear. But be open to this conversation about Jesus. You may be here this morning and you are the person of peace. And so be thinking about people that can be influenced around you who need this Jesus conversation, this thing that interests you, this thing that just attracts you. As we come to our communion time today, I want to encourage you to be thinking about opportunities for you to be sent out. Here in the next couple of weeks, we've got some very structured times for you to be pulled back and released. And so we as a church have just said, man, we feel the season of harvest coming. We're going to give some structured time. It may be unstructured time for you. It may be on the golf course. It may be in the bass boat. It may be on the next vacation. And it may be down when you're at Barton Springs like I was with my kids this week. And I just see four people that need this conversation. And I had a brief conversation with them. But some structured times that we're going to be having, we've given you these peeps, and these are great opportunities. We took some to a house that we went to last night. And so I want to encourage you guys, be grabbing these. Feel free to just grab a basket full. These are easy conversation starters. Last night, we just went to a house. We took those with us. By the end of the night, we ended up sharing faith stories. We had the opportunity to hear about their struggles with church. It was so cool. But maybe grabbing some of these peeps is an opportunity for you. Spring Fest is coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to be rubbing shoulders with 5,000 people here in the Lake Travis community. What an incredible opportunity to realize. But we got to realize, my friends, Jeremy was talking about us volunteering to pull this off. I'm going to ask for a lot more. We're not asking for volunteers. We're asking for 72. We're asking for 72 people who are ready to be released, and not just to keep kids safe. That's important. That's very important, but to have Jesus conversations. And so I want to encourage you, we need you to come and serve and be open to those conversations. Spring Fest, another one is Family Camp coming up in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a blast. I guarantee you, you know some families who are struggling. You know a family, a husband, a wife, who are over, a mom and dad, that are overseeing kids, and their family life is just a struggle. Invite them to Family Camp. We're going to start a Family Fill series. These are opportunities that I want you to be praying about. And so this is your time. We have our communion stations set up on the left and the right and the back. Our prayer team is going to be back there. But I want you to be specifically praying for where God is about to send you. Who is the person of peace that you may know that could be a landing spot? That's the first place you need to start with a conversation. Y'all bow your heads and your hearts. Spend some time with him. And I believe God will speak to you. Band's going to do another song. Y'all can take communion whenever you would like. This is your time, my friends.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.